and life.
I like it.
Hello, Marconi House, London calling.
London calling to the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing. Except for the rain and the truncheon thing. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop on him, but I have no fear. Cause London is drowning and I live by the river. To the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go in alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling and I don't wanna shout. But while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide. Except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stop running, the wheat is going thick. A nuclear error, but I have no fear. Cause London is drowning out. It's gonna be a nuclear error, but I have no fear, cause London is drowning out.
Greetings, Xenophiles. On this day, 102 years ago, the BBC began daily radio broadcasts from the 2LO transmitter at Marconi House. That's why I played that piece of music there. According to Samuel Pepys' diary, on this day in 1666, the world's first blood transfusion happened between two dogs. In 1896, the power plant at Niagara Falls started producing power. And in 1908, Einstein produced his quantum theory of light. And 116 years later, I still don't understand it. But there we go. 30 years ago today, the public trains first ran through the Channel Tunnel between England and France. Somehow it feels much longer than that.
It's a good day then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And happy birthday to Claude Monet, who's 184.
No way.
Yep. And to King Charles III of England, who's 76. And to our lovely newsreader, Andrea Bilciu. And a year and a day ago, we welcomed the latest member of our family clan. So happy birthday yesterday, Benjamin Foggin, who's not listening because he's only 1 year old and he's in England. And 40 years ago yesterday, friend of the show, David Benjamin Hughes was born. What is it with people born on the 13th of November being called Benjamin?
I see a pattern there.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dave. I'll see you on Saturday. Our guest this week, yeah. all the way from Vienna, yeah, Victoria Berger. Now, we're going to do the usual story in the four chapters and everything, but I'm going to start with the hardest question of the night is the first one. Victoria Berger, who do you think you are?
That question was not in the script.
Nope.
That's a very good question. I think I'm a human being that's still trying to figure out a lot of things. But I think I'm per se kind. I'm oftentimes funny.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my best.
Okay. Doing your best. Okay. Should we get straight into it? Because I think we've got quite a few bits and pieces to talk about here. So let's not waste any more time. And we start
let's
with
go.
The usual...
Expat Life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
As the man said.
Oh.
Where were you born? And not, you don't have to tell us when, that's not important. But where?
In Vienna.
Yeah,
in the beautiful city of Vienna.
The beautiful city of Vienna, as you described it. Yes.
When I saw the question, that was the first thing that came up in my head, like, the beautiful city of Vienna.
Right.
That's where it started.
Mm-hmm. And were you, I mean, okay, it's the, right in the middle, on the edge. How is, it's a big old place, Vienna. Where?
In German, you would say the Speckgürtel, so the bacon belt.
It's easy for you to say.
outskirts of Vienna.
Ah.
So basically when I was very, very young, we had the house really at the outskirts of Vienna. Mm-hmm. And my friends would always joke that, Victoria, you're not living anymore in Vienna. You can't say that because the border to the next county is literally starting at the end of your street. I would still boast about that I'm living in Vienna.
It was very tribal sounding.
But it was almost like a bit countrysidey.
Yeah.
We had like cornfields behind the house. So, mm-hmm.
So you were playing
before urban development started.
Okay, so you basically you were playing among fields and trees, not among blocks and streets.
Yeah, yeah? Definitely.
Nice.
It
so
very
felt
chilled.
Relaxed, chilled, and
very as, boring.
What do you mean boring? Really boring. No, come on, make it sound exciting. You're on the radio.
It was fun.
Big family? Did you have to fight for attention from along tons of siblings, or were you the golden girl?
I was the golden girl.
All right.
Second born. I only have a brother, so yeah. I only had to compete.
How's he going to feel? I only had a brother.
We would though constantly fight for food.
Oh, for food?
I think it's like a sibling thing. You know, who gets the last piece of whatever?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who won? You, obviously. Every
it
time.
Depends.
No?
It depends. No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it was not always.
You didn't pull a little sister card out and say, I win because...
No. My brother wasn't that impressed by this.
Okay.
That was a very soft argument.
So living on the outskirts of... What did your parents do? What was the family... profession?
My mom would work at the company from my grandfather, actually. So we were all rather close because my grandparents were living basically on the other side of the yard. And the office was in the house. So my mom would work there. My aunt would work there. My grandmother would work there.
Okay.
And mm-hmm.
Doing,
my dad...
What was this, a factory or a business? Or what did it do? What did it make?
They would buy and sell concrete machines.
Oh, that's exciting. Yes.
Very specific. And my grandfather was actually working in China quite a lot. So
okay. Mm-hmm.
I could eat with chopsticks quite fast when I was a kid. Skills.
Right, yeah. It's important skills to learn. Because you can show off with it. Yeah. After the show, I'll tell you my chopstick story. It's too long for on the air. And okay, let's talk about school. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Did you just tolerate it? Did you realize it's just something you have to do? Or were you one of those strange people who actually enjoyed it?
Oh, you have no idea. My brother was way older than... my brother is 5 years older than I am. And I remember when I was in kindergarten that I would always say, I want to go to school.
Oh.
Because I always looked at him and was like, he's learning. I was really excited to go to school. And when I was in primary school, I was excited to go to high school and so on and so forth. So I was always like...
Did it continue? Or did as a point when you realized, oh, hang on a minute, I'm bored with this now. No?
That was probably at university. No. I think it was during high school already when I realized, okay, actually, it's not that fun.
So what,
it's hard.
Which bits of it were you good at? Did you devour all the topics or were you sort of, sciences, arts, humanities, what languages?
I really enjoyed arts, like all those crafty subjects.
Right.
And also languages. Because I've always found it very cool to be able to speak to a lot of people from different countries.
Helps, definitely.
Do I have to say English is the one that stuck with me the most?
I have to say, I'm lazy there. Maybe just lucky. it's a curse being a native English speaker. But it's a great excuse. English are rubbish at foreign languages. Yes, we are. Sorry, nothing we can do about it. But when you were not at school, and you were, you know, weekends and holidays, and hobbies, things, you said you crafts, right? You used to dismantle jewellery.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that went down very well with the owner of said jewellery.
Yeah, like those small things that I got.
You're
right. I think if I would have started that with my, I don't know, mom's jewellery, she wouldn't have been very happy about it.
I used to like to dismantle things, but little machines, and usually my dad's. And the problem was I could never put them back together again. I got into a lot of trouble.
Happens. No, I actually managed quite well. I mean, it was also when I was not a kid anymore, but actually had some like fine skills. That helped. But yeah, I was mainly, I don't know, doing, there was this one series on the TV that I was always watching, Art Attack. And I would always rebuild the stuff. And having an office in the house helps a lot because you have a lot of supplies.
Oh, right. Yeah, you've got your sticky back plastic and your scotch tape and your pins and your clips. And
that was amazing. And yeah, so yeah. I remember that I was always like doing stuff with my hands. Somehow stuck with me.
And what about this cat that you were so fond of?
So my grandparents always had dogs. My aunt had a dog. And I was always so eager to have a pet for myself, like basically every other kid.
Right, yes.
And at one point, my brother and I convinced our parents that we would get a cat. And I used to go to the countryside a lot with one of my best friends from school to a little farmhouse. And they had, in the year that we went, of course, like a bunch of little kittens. And we we managed to get our parents to go there with me and my brother. And we would pick out one of the cats. And this was... It was such a sweet little thing.
So potentially, just leaping forward a little bit in the story, when did you switch your allegiance from cats to dogs then?
I never switched allegiance.
All right.
Hold your horses there.
We'll come to that then.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm now only a dog person. I'm both. Right. I'm a pet person.
Okay.
But the good thing with dogs is definitely that you can easier take them from one place to the other with you. And people wouldn't stare that much when you have a dog on a leash than a cat on a leash.
Yeah.
So.
My guest from last week, Helen, was telling stories of she would go around walking her cats on a lead. And now she's famous in the neighborhood because they all go, there's that crazy woman who walks a cat on a lead.
I mean, I always thought that it's, you know, it starts a conversation when you have a dog.
Yeah.
But actually, no, it starts a conversation when you have a cat on a leash and you walk with it on the streets in Bucharest.
Yeah. I think, wait a minute. You realize that's a cat? What were you dreaming of? I mean, as a, you know, when you go through your high school years and you start, you get, when I grow up, I want to be a astronaut, lawyer, doctor, crane
Very
driver.
Boring. I wanted to be a lawyer, indeed.
You wanted to be a lawyer?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. But is this before or after you wanted to be a goldsmith?
That was definitely before it. Like, right. I started with this idea when I was, I think, in primary school. I had this weird idea that I wanted to become this. And yeah, the only thing that competed with it was that I would love to make jewelry by myself. Or anything that is, like, crafty again.
That's kind of, but that's two massively different things, right?
Definitely.
Left brain, right brain thing going on here.
Yeah, sometimes you then have to decide. And I tried actually to get into the training for a goldsmith, but that didn't work out. And then I started working in a jewelry shop anyways and worked a bit there and could follow my passion this way.
Okay, we'll see how you followed it as we go forward in the story. But it's time for your first piece of music before we get there. When I've been to Vienna a few times. First 16 times I went to Vienna, I didn't get out of the airport.
Such a shame, because that's really the ugliest part of it.
Yeah, then I finally got out the airport and realised what it was about. But I haven't been there for a while, so if I go back to Vienna, where would you tell me to go first? What's the first thing I should go and see?
Apart
from the New Year's Day opera, of course, which is a given.
Yeah.
Opera. But, you know, that.
Go to the city centre, to the ring that goes around it, and actually it doesn't matter where you go onto a tram, but get a tram, like a very standard one, and just go around this ring once. Put on some nice music that you enjoy. It's the best because you see all the lovely sights and you get like the real feel.
Okay.
Try to avoid rush hour maybe.
Yeah.
But apart from this.
Nice. Okay. Right. Let's crack on with your first piece of music. Now you picked you picked a piece of music that's called Vienna. Not this one.
No,
that was too obvious. Which Vienna song did you pick and why? I mean, I think why is obvious.
Yeah, I picked Vienna by Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Because every time I'm going to Vienna, I have to listen to it because, I don't know, it just speaks to me.
Yeah.
And you will notice why.
Yeah. When will you realize Vienna waits for you, huh?
It's like a bit slow.
Yeah.
Authentic.
Underrated Billy Joel. He was much cooler than most people think. Let's listen.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Told that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you could see when you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right, you're right. You got your passion, you got your pride. Satisfied. Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Take the phone off the hook and disappear for a while. It's all right, you can't afford to lose a day or two. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? And you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you why don't you realize Vienna waits for you?
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back. This is Expat Life, and sitting over there is Victoria Berger, who wanted to be a lawyer. And a goldsmith at the same time.
It was hard to decide.
So, anyway, we took your story up to school, and when you graduated, we didn't talk about further studies. So did you go to university to study law or goldsmithing?
Law. But I went like the middle way, and I was like, but I also gonna study art history.
All right. Yeah.
That was a fun time.
Where did you do that?
Also the University of Vienna. Vienna.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you go anywhere else? The beautiful city of Vienna.
It's a beautiful city and the university is very, very cool. You have to go to the library, to like the big one.
Right.
In the main building of the university that is also located on the ring. So if you do like the round trip with the tram, you will see it.
Right.
Insider tip. And then you go inside and it's like basically like Hogwarts. It's one of those like very huge, old, lovely libraries.
Yeah.
With the old bookshelves and the little spiral stairs.
Oh, brilliant.
Why would you study somewhere else?
Exactly, correct. A perfect place to read and to learn stuff.
And to do coffee breaks.
And okay, nothing wrong with that. So you basically, it's law. So at a point, did you decided to focus, though, after a while, right?
And yeah.
Only go with the law.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What were you thinking?
Of course, it's like the standard thing. When you start studying, which one will actually give you a job later on?
Okay, that's...
There was like somehow also fear of the future, being able to actually pay my bills. So mm-hmm. I went with law.
Well, I don't know many poor lawyers, to be honest.
And also, I don't know, it was also the thinking behind it that it's quite nice to be able to help people understand a subject that is quite complex.
Oh, I see a pattern there. I see a pattern developing there. We'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay, I'm curious.
Later, because something else you mentioned earlier about helping people understand complex things.
When did I say that?
You're applying that same philosophy to sustainability, but we'll come to that in the third chapter. Yeah, you said it, not me. So eventually you gave up on the art history part?
Yeah.
But did you give up on the crafty playing?
Never.
No, you still do that?
Yeah.
All right, so you're always building and making something.
Yeah, when I was working in my first job at the jewelry shop that I mentioned at the beginning.
Right.
That was when I really lived for it.
I love the story about how you got that job. Tell me.
It was like back in the days, that kind of story.
Old school.
Honestly, considering that I'm a millennial, it was very old school. I was making some CVs and mm-hmm. I would go from shop to shop and ask if they were looking for people to work there. And I knew that specific shop because I really liked their stuff.
Right.
And I would go there and be like, do you happen to look for someone to help out with sales? Because I could do that. And they took me on.
Just like that. Boom.
Basically, just like that. I left my CV and then he called back and was like, yeah, we didn't have anyone working here since ever. So your guess, it was just a very small family business. It was
right. So you were the first outsider allowed in.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was very cool. And I stayed for almost 4 years. So it took quite a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Started when I was in high school and then
till
the mid of my university time when I finally decided maybe it makes sense to actually work in a law job.
So imagine this, you come out of you've got your scroll and your gown and your hat and your degree in law and woo-hoo, the world is your oyster. What did you think to do next?
Oh, I was very stressed about getting a job.
Why?
From the beginning, I was always a bit always looking to the next step and the next step and... the first thing was really, I should get a job. But before that, when I was still at university, actually, I did the most sensible step and I got myself a dog.
The middle letter is the same.
But yeah, when I finished university, actually, I first started to look for a job. And at one point also, my father has Alzheimer's disease. That somehow... When I got my first job and I started to settle a bit, I also realized that maybe it makes sense to sometimes slow down and not always look into the future. Sometimes to just enjoy where you are, enjoy the ride, and make the best of it.
That's one thing about the future is you never know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Okay, so as you said, we'll come to what that wraps up in a nice little motto, which you'll say is the last thing you say. I won't say it now. One of the things you decided to do, I've noticed completely out of nowhere, it seems, is that you went backpacking around New Zealand. Oh, excuse me.
That was actually at the beginning of my university time when my best friend and I, from high school already, we decided, we want to go somewhere. And back then, until now, I'm a very big Lord of the Rings fan, so it somehow made sense to go to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And since I was working, I actually had the money to go somewhere, like far away. And we just went there, had no plan. We arrived in Auckland, so capital of New Zealand. And then we were like, okay, now we figure out where we're going to sleep tonight. It was a marvelous time. Yeah? We stayed for 1 month.
Wow.
Going around with the bus.
But I mean, the idea to choose New Zealand, I understand why now, because my first thought when I saw New Zealand was, well, it's the furthest you can go. The only place that's further away than New Zealand is the moon.
Yeah, because it's pretty much on the other side of the earth from Austria.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, and the moon's upside down.
I realized that when I was in Brazil. I didn't even realize that in New Zealand.
It freaked me out that when I first saw that.
Same. I was in Brazil with my boyfriend, and one night we were looking up in the sky and we're like, are we crazy or is the moon hanging upside down? Crazy realization. Yeah.
So, jobs in law and you traveled a lot of places, lots of European travel. I mean, the usual place here, Paris, Munich, Amsterdam, but we won't go through because the backpacking in New Zealand was more exciting than any of that. Plus, time is ticking on. So before we get to the point where we play the next piece of music and take your story through Romania, career-wise, I mean, job as a lawyer?
Yeah.
Boom, just like that?
Actually, yeah. I applied. I had a specialization from university in medical law, and I applied for a job in medical law at the Medical Chamber of Vienna. And that was my first, full-time job, very professional, I felt like. And I did really enjoy it. I was working with doctors in training, so also young people, which was really nice. And there was also this thing of actually trying to help them make sense of their training that they have to go through and checking, what requirements they have to meet. It was...
Well, yeah, it's an important thing. I didn't think about it, that. You go to medical school and you learn medicine, but in the... Over your shoulder, there's always that, liability thing going on.
Well, but which things do you have to worry about when you actually do what you do?
Yes, exactly. An important sort of other angle on it that I had not thought about until then.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, so you got this job, lawyer, bang, 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 you ended up, but now it's time to play some music. And you picked, this is one of my favourite. I mean, this is one of the most recognisable openings to a song that there possibly can be. Why did you pick this?
This song I connect a lot with the time when I finished university and I was feeling very world is open to me. I can do whatever I want. I felt very, confident in... I actually managed to finish my law degree because that's also a thing.
Yeah, so you went dancing.
I went dancing.
In the moonlight.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Top loader. What happened to them? They didn't really have much of a... The first album was great, and then nothing. I think the industry was not very...
They're not ready for them.
Not pleased with the name. I'll tell you what the name means off the air. Listen up.
We get it almost every night. When that moon is big and bright as a supernatural delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep this loose to keep it tight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. We'll be right back.
As always, you've got to listen to the online version to hear the song right to the end, because now our good friends at Carrefour would like us to hear something else.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai, oferite de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla. Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai, oferite de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic, quixotic, exotic.
And we're back with Victoria Berger. Vicky, now, chaotic, yeah. Quixotic, exotic. It's supposed to describe Romania.
Describes Romania. Okay.
It usually describes the guests as well. Yeah, at a point, you found yourself here. Now, what was the trigger for that?
It's my boyfriend. Love brought me here. Ah. What should I do? My boyfriend got a job offer for a job in Bucharest.
Right. To do what? What does he do? Does he have a name, this mysterious boyfriend?
Michael.
All right.
And he's working in sales. And he got this job offer, so... We weren't together for such a long time. It was like half a year.
Oh.
And then he came home one day and was like, Vicky, we were talking about maybe at one point moving abroad. What do you think about moving to Romania?
Where?
Truly, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And then after a while, when it, I had time to sink in. We were actually considering it. I was like, it was like this COVID time where you reconsidered life choices anyways. And we're like, okay.
But was your initial reaction based on knowing anything about the place?
I had no freaking clue about it. And that's the thing that anybody who says, why Romania?
Yeah.
In this like negative tone of voice though, has in common.
Correct.
Nobody's ever been here.
Yeah. Because the moment you get here, you realise...
It's quite livable.
Yes. Isn't it just... Yeah.
Rather lovely
so,
here.
So you came, so basically, Michael came, started, and you sort of tagged along, like the expat wife.
Exactly. And also...
So you had to find something to do.
Yeah, exactly, because it's rather hard to find or to move abroad when you study law in the country.
Right.
So...
Ah, yes, because
And then, yeah.
Different laws, different places. Yes. It's not that universal, is it?
Ah.
Yeah. Due to COVID, I also started to think a bit reconsidering life choices.
Right.
And back then, I was really into sustainability and learning more about it, like on a personal side.
Tell me about Keep.
Ooh, Keep. Ah. So after I did my postgraduate in sustainability management in textiles, I did that because I actually wanted to have a fashion brand. And then I found that there's quite a lot of things happening there and I don't want to be part of this. So when I finished my postgraduate and I was already in Bucharest, I thought about, okay, how could I empower people to actually keep their things for longer? So I started Keep with an accelerator program, and it was a platform with which you could, that connects customers with local tailors, and you would send your clothes there.
That's for why you were asking those questions on the Facebook forum. Yeah. Right.
I thought, you saw expats and locals in Bucharest, yes. Yeah.
Right. So I remember because you came up with a great line for this. I think you mentioned in your writing about you, the last thing you wanted to see was more product out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, fair enough, understand. But then you wrote something, I think it was on the page about Keep, about the fashion industry could use some alterations, which is a brilliant line.
Pun intended.
Yes, exactly.
I was very proud of that one.
Yep. So what happened to that? Joke. What happened to Keep?
Keep is now a bit work in progress. Mm-hmm. I would like to make it more into a personal project, like a passion project, because right now I'm working full-time anyway, so right. It's quite hard to do both things. But since I still do like crafting and repairing, I would actually really like to, I don't know, open the social media accounts again,
right.
And tell people how to, or explain to people how to repair stuff. Because right. I do love that. I love to use old blankets to make something new out of it.
To bring,
and
yeah.
Give old things new value.
Correct. And extend the life and cut down on the landfill, yeah. And all sorts of.
Since I'm working in sustainability,
Let's talk about that. Sustainability. Yeah. Well, you found yourself working in sustainability for a consultancy company who majors in sustainability.
Yeah.
Well, so that was, talk about, was that a lucky, that was a lucky one.
That was a really lucky one.
Yeah. So what are you doing?
I'm working with companies and working on strategies and reporting how they can improve their actions. First of all, we assess what are they doing right now and which are the areas on sustainability, like environment, people, and how they actually run their business that could be more aligned and more responsible.
And at the moment, there's the idea that it's, this is just another bloody EU regulation.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that, though, isn't there?
I always talk about it from a very idealistic point of view because it's something that's very close to my heart.
Say idealistic. At the end, I know what you mean there, but I think it's also just really, really practical because we don't want the planet to burn up.
Yeah. And it's also a very, actually, prime idea. Whenever I talk, at one point I had to explain to my 90-year-old grandmother what I'm actually doing for work. And I was talking with her about sustainability and her look was like, yeah, but expanding how long you use stuff, reusing stuff, not being cruel to the planet and to people. It's like,
that's what I did when I was a little girl. Excuse me, there's nothing new here.
Yeah. So there's like this general idea behind what sustainability actually is, but it gets lost in the way and it's more convenient to sometimes not know about things.
Well, yeah, it's not just about, let's go back to the way we used to do things, you know, the way our grandparents did it, because they used to take back the milk bottles and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But you have to adapt it because the world's not the same any longer.
Exactly. And that's actually the hard part because supply chains are longer, digitalization happened, mm-hmm. globalization. So
commercialization happened.
Commercialization happened. Consumers got way more used to they can get stuff fast. Yeah. And also how we get sold things triggers that we always want new things.
Right.
And
new iPhone every single year. Yeah. Why does Apple release a new phone every year? Because some people are daft enough to buy one every year.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And also because all the other companies are doing it, so we have to do it as well.
Correct. Yeah. And once you've started that cycle, you can't break it. You can't be the first one to back down.
I actually like to think that the most rebellious things we can do as consumers is actually to not fall into this trap and just keep what we have and use it for as long as we can.
Don't say that to Michael. He's in sales.
I won't. No, I keep telling him.
Yep. When you're not working, what are you doing?
In the meantime, since we moved to Romania, we adopted a second dog.
Uh-huh.
So I do spend some time outside walking around.
And picking up after them.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. And when I'm not doing that, I'm still crafting.
Right.
What can I do? I can't get out of my skin. I love knitting and sewing, repairing.
Yeah.
The jumper I am wearing today is actually hand-knitted. It was my first piece.
So. Oh, right. Well, you see.
I brought a conversation piece.
Ah, very good. And now it's immortalized on the socials forever. Yep. Very good. Very good. Look, this time is going and it's time to pay. Super. You chose... That is another unique... everyone knows what that song is from just that. We don't even need to play the rest.
No.
We will, of course. But why did you pick it?
It was one of the first, not first concerts I went to, but one of the first concerts that I'm not ashamed of that I went to.
Oh, okay.
You know, those boy bands.
Let's talk
when
about
I was
young. Let's talk about the shameful ones. These are much more interesting. Everybody's seen you too.
That was actually the reason why I chose it, because I saw them live and it was amazing in Vienna. It was a round stage and it was like 360 degrees view.
Right.
Marvelous. But shameful, not shameful, because it was also an experience. Tokyo Hotel, it was a German band.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not that good. Looking back...
Let's just focus on the YouTube part.
Yeah, that's better.
This kind of went a bit quiet. Got remade a few times. I wasn't that keen on the Mary J. Blige one, and then suddenly I was.
I did not know that it was remade.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my favorite version.
Is that the
original? No, listen to this. You know this?
Ooh, no.
This is one of the last songs Johnny Cash ever recorded.
Is it getting better?
Oh, okay. That's
feel
a different vibe, though.
Yep, completely. Let's.
I love the electric vibe of it, though.
Let's go with this one.
Do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You're saying, won't love. One life when it's one need in the night. One love we get to share it. Leaves you, baby, if you don't care for it. Did I disappoint you? Or leave a bad taste in your mouth? You act like you never had love. And you want me to go without? Well, it's too late tonight to drag the past out into the light. We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other, carry each other.
Expat Life, made in Bucharest, Romania.
Heard all over the world.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back, Victoria Berger. Next chapter, last chapter. We got about a minute and a half. to talk about the future, which means Laurentiu, sorry, we haven't got time for Victoria to say anything in German.
Ah, damn. Besuchen Sie Wien.
Okay.
Something small.
So what's the future? Are you going to stay here? Are you going to move back to Vienna, the beautiful city of Vienna? What's your plan?
I think right now we're going to stay for a bit longer because we actually bought an apartment and renovated the apartment. So we want to actually spend some time living in that apartment because it was quite an experience.
Well, yes. We had to buy it, renovate it, and then just move out. That's
beginning. Yeah, that would be stupid.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay a bit, but eventually probably moving back to Vienna at one point to be closer to family and stuff.
Okay.
But
you never know what the future is going to bring. As you said earlier, which is leading up to what is your life motto in one sentence, but not just yet, because we'll go out with your final piece of music, Emmy Maley. Tell me, this is news to me, and I've never heard this before, and I'm so glad you've introduced me to this piece of music. Tell me, what and why?
So when you are moving to a different city, especially when you're in your 20s and you're still figuring out a lot of stuff, I don't know, you're sometimes confused, insecure and stuff. And I find myself right now at the place where I'm actually quite content with who I am, what I am, accepting that I'm still learning. And that piece of music sometimes reminds me that I'm quite good how I am.
Uh-huh. Comfortable with yourself. Yeah. You know who you are.
I do know who I am, even if I can't explain it properly sometimes.
Doesn't matter. But you know, you feel it in your bones.
I have swagger.
Excellent. We'll go out with that piece of music. But first, a public service announcement just before I go out. On Saturday, it's going to be 1 year since we lost my best friend, Nick Brind. There will be a small memorial on Saturday at the Anglican Church. So if you'd like to pop along and wish Nick well in the afterlife, it all starts at 11. And maybe I'll see you there. That was it. We now go out with your Emmy Maley and I Am Woman. But the last thing you're going to say, Victoria, is your life motto.
All we have is now.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Good story. Nicely told. Thank you, Victoria. This has been Expat Life.
Of the future, speak to me kindly. Ask for what I want, and somehow it find me. Somehow it find me. Somehow it find me. Speak no evil.
Attitude for Uma and Rihanna. Young minds, fresh ideas.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New maps, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.